Welcome to the Music Matters podcast.
Welcome back to the show. We have here Spence with us in the show today.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, Spence, I've known you for a while myself, but Brad's kind of just got to know you lately. But give us a background on what kind of got you into, I know obviously you were into kind of like more the kind of hippie and punky sort of scene early in the days, but what got you into electronic music originally? Kind of, you know, would you remember kind of like your first experiences where you kind of like, oh, I like this scene and you wanted to get into it?
Yeah, I mean, it was that one, the whole sort of hippie biker scene that I was involved with doing, and then the festivals back in the day, you know, Trawalgi, the first sort of big hippie festival that I did, you know, before they were, you know, the market, you know, the consumer thing that they are today. These were just a bunch of hippies with sound systems and probably a few rasters with their own sound system too.
Yeah,
it was that really got me into it. And I can remember going to a Glastonbury, like we all got kicked out of Stonehenge and we tried to get into there on one solstice, and then we ended up going off to Glastonbury, and that was it. There was a bunch of rasters with a sound system playing out, you know, dub reggae, and that was it. From that point on, electronic music's played a part in my life, but before then it was all guitar based.
Yeah, I can remember actually you back in the old Benders,
you know, built
around Swindon playing your guitar.
Exactly, yeah, right. And all heavy metal, wasn't it, really, or old rock and stuff, and yeah, Zeppelin, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, but I started off really as a little rude boy, Ska, you know, that was our era in the 70s, you know that. And so yeah, I sort of deviated a bit, I think, with the rock thing and then and the hippie vibe, but yeah, then the festival scene found me, and sure enough,
yeah, I remember your collection of 7-inch Ska records that if I believe the story, when you came back to your flat in Bath, wasn't there some skinhead that was throwing them out the window or something?
Yeah.
And let's go and saw him.
Unfortunately, yeah, I had to wrestle a blade off him, and then I went back in there. So we got a bit messy, that did, for a couple of weeks, and then I absconded off to Stroud.
Yeah, that was the collection of Ska gone.
Yeah, that wasn't the best, was it? Little 7-inches, and there were some, you know, gems from my childhood.
I remember the whole, I actually do remember your box full of those 7-inch Scars, right. Mate.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I was like 7 years old when I bought my first record. I mean, music's just massive, it's always been massive to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was the first time I spent my own cash on and it was Madness, Night Boat to Cairo.
Yeah. mine was Billy Idol. White Wedding, and I've still got it, mate. I've still got the 7-inch now, mate. And yeah. But that day I bought that and Simple Minds, Sign of the Time on 7-inch, which I still have. Fuck, good times, eh?
One of my first vinyl was DJ Hazard, Distorted Minds.
Yeah, right. Well, that's cool, isn't it? Nice one, Brad.
Yeah. So Brad pulls out like
no a fucking
cool
white record. Wedding there, was it?
Yeah.
Should have thought that first.
Yeah, we should have thought about something cool rather than showing our age.
Mine ended in Madness. It went out of a window of a flat in Bath.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then I guess after what got you into electronics, do you remember then? Where was your kind of first club / rave? Do you remember like where you really first were like, oh my God, this is, you know.
Well, the scene started to evolve, didn't it? Sort of like late 80s, 88, 89, the Acid House thing. I can remember going to a warehouse party, an Acid House party. And it was like, you know, this dirty, sweaty floor and this like just a drone of sort of, you know, repetitive beats going on. And yeah, really dark and dingy. And I thought, this is madness. But then the sort of free party scene exploded, didn't it? So,
you know, especially in our area, right down southwest of England,
the West Country ravers, weren't they? Madness, and that was like, you know, free. It wasn't so dirty, and the field didn't get so sweaty. So, that was it, really. And I think the first ever sort of a festival was Peace Down St. John, really, the first free party where it was all based on dance music. It was, you know, the early techno, early sort of early rave, hands in the air stuff. So and where they took you on a journey, they, you know, nobody really was specific to genre at that point. The genres hadn't divided and little cliques hadn't started to appear. It was actually uniting other scenes. I know hippies and rockers and bikers and mods, all these people, soul boys, they all sort of joined and become
joined ravers, in, yeah.
So yeah, I think it was that Peace Down St John and Chip in Salisbury, those two parties.
Chip in Salisbury, yes, mate.
Were sort of early 90 around that time that exploded, and of course then into the club scene, because you know the criminal justice bill happened, didn't it? And the club scene was Gold Diggers.
Yes,
obviously Brunel. But should we talk about Brunel?
Judge
Jules in the Amphi.
Judge Jules in the Amphi, mate.
In the day.
Yes, mate. Judge Jules was a legend in Swindon, and he loved Swindon, and he still does. I've seen him talk about Swindon in interviews, mate. How much he loved coming to the Brunel Rooms, because
mate, the Amphi was awesome, wasn't it?
It really was, man. Like,
but not Nappy Night.
not Nappy Night.
I had some fun times in Nappy Night. I can tell you some stories.
You know that.
I can tell you some stories.
Magdod 2020.
Jesus.
Perhaps we can try and get Judge Jules on the show.
Judge Jules would be a good one to interview, mate. I tell you.
That'd be nice.
Yes. I can remember. I shouldn't tell the story, but yeah, there was one night in the Amphi when my buddy was, he was doing something on the side of the DJ booth that you probably shouldn't be doing, and Judge Jules just looked over and he was like, yeah mate, that's not that big, and he pulled out his own cigarette and he lit it up, and I was like, oh yeah man.
Big massive dope.
Yes mate. Yes. yeah classic. Oh, yeah,
it was an awesome place at one time. But hey, Gold Diggers, so back yes. in the day, was it yeah. Branson owned it, so he got like 808 State there. We had Prodigy.
Who owned it?
It was Branson, wasn't it?
Was it?
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, I believe, yeah, way back when.
Interesting.
So that was like, we used to do that, it was Friday night, and then it was off to a like service station to wait for a phone call, wasn't it?
Memory service station.
Kind of like, what they had then, SM, like, what are those things? Pagers.
Pagers, yeah. Yeah, Jesus. You were a flash fucker if you had a pager. Oof.
Nah.
Big time.
I had a Chevette. A Chevette that didn't start. I'd have put my leg out and shake it every time I wanted to get him to go, didn't I? Fucking hilarious.
So what kind of festival stood out to you the most, Spence?
Oh, Cassington. Don't even think about it. That was madness. Endstone, Cassington.
Yeah.
What was Cassington? Because I'll be honest, I don't know.
It was like it was on the side of a railway track.
It was a free party.
Yeah, a free party.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Street Level, who became Fantasia, you know, that little crew.
So, weren't there a couple of other crews there as well, or was it just them?
It was there was some Gloucester lads there, I remember, and probably the Bath Boys, but I think it was Street Level that put Cassington on, as far as I remember.
And actually, talking about the Bath Boys, you obviously were quite friendly and still are with Rob, that used to run Universe. Brad, I don't know if you remember it, man, but Universe used to put on some amazing parties, didn't they?
Like some 30,000 people.
Oh, easy. 25,000-30,000 people parties. Mm-hmm. And had some of the best acts. Like some of Sasha's classic sets were from Universe, mate, from back in the day. And again, Spence, you were quite friendly with Robbie there during all that time, right?
Yeah, no, still, obviously he's like, top man. But yeah, he had a partner at the time who were very kind to him, and it all ended wrong, and Rob got stiffed, as many people did, didn't he? But
back in the day.
And he went off to then and did Big Love, and so Big Love was massive as well.
Yes, Big Love was huge, right?
Yeah, so they were awesome. But those parties were, like at Cassington party, that was sort of early days of Carl Cox. He played there. Dennis Easy Groovy played there.
Mate, so, Easy Groove and Groove Rider, Carl mate, Cox, back in the day, all those boys.
And these were like when they were, they were just
Fabio, right? Yeah, they were just, we all knew them because they were at every party and we all loved to see them. But at the time, they were like, you think
they
about
weren't
it,
the producers, the massive no, things.
They were just early days.
And so, yeah, it was really cool to see the whole evolution of it. And it was a shame when the whole scene kind of fractured. Because I did like the ride, you'd go to a party and you would have a rider of genre of music, getting dirtier and darker as it went. And then sort of as soon as the sun comes up, everybody's hands in the air. And let me tell you, you've been raving all night. You needed that. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so it was a good time. Good times.
Yes, they were good days, weren't they? Good fucking days. And actually, like, I'm sort of going back away again. This is almost going backwards from where we go. But Spence, didn't your mum kind of send you off for piano lessons early on in your life before you kind of even experienced, like, you know, electronic music? Didn't you do some kind of like classical training to a degree?
Well, my mum, really, it was like me. I was always into it because me, a junior school teacher who I had a bit of a thing for, Mrs. Perry. Anyway, I won't go on about Mrs. Perry, but she was a pianist, and like, I was fascinated, you know, watching her play. It was, you know, incredible. And I could, you know, never understand how somebody get all them digits moving independently like that. And so it was like that inspiration, but they wouldn't let me play piano. You know, so first thing I had to do was like cello for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Did a bit of cello, did a bit of violin, and then thought, yeah, that's all right. And then they let me, you know, because I got a bit of music foundation, a bit of basic. So then my mum played for like lessons. So I used to go to a dude who lived actually where your mum ended up, over Sandringham that way. You know,
yeah.
And walk off over there to. Unfortunately, like about 18 months into it, he pegged it. He was a lovely old man, but he you know, shuffled. And then I flipped to a church organist. My mum was a devout Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And I flipped to the church. Now, of course, he wanted to take me back to step one, didn't he? Because he's got his own style. And that kind of crashed it for me. So, and then as far as playing goes, I didn't really play, you know, become a teen and everything's all a bit crazy, innit? But then I picked the guitar back up, sort of 17, picked up a guitar and tried to play that. And then sort of taught myself to play guitar. And it was only recently I sort of, you know, had time to focus on some music. And I remembered, oh, fuck, I can play piano because all I've done is play guitar for years. Mm. So, yeah, it's bizarre. And it's been really good, like, getting back into playing some piano.
Yeah, no, and obviously, like, you know, when you listen to, it doesn't matter what any genre of the music, but obviously with that kind of background, you can understand the structure and formation and, you know, how to build a good, decent electronic track. And again, now, like, we haven't even sort of breached on this yet, but you've kind of got into the reggae side of things right now. It's kind of what you're making yourself, right?
As opposed to
house, right?
Yeah, I've never really tried to produce a dance track because, you know, my I naturally write quite. Actually, I'd say it's just pop. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny you say that, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, man. But me and Jen sat and listened to the track you sent over, right? And at the end of it, we both were like, it sounds amazing. Jen actually didn't even believe it was you singing. She's like, there's no way that's it. I was like, yeah, no, that's Spence singing, right? And at the end, we were both like, yeah, it's definitely reggae, but it's pop. Like, it's got that total kind of pop feel to it, which is cool, man, because, like, it doesn't matter. Pop's pop. Music's
pop. No, isn't it? And this is it. It's all subjective, isn't it? And,
absolutely.
But that kind of as well. So the whole reggae thing, obviously, I've always been passionate about reggae. Just love it. It's the only music that really gets me dancing. You know, to be honest, I was at the raves. I was the man on the side watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Dancing, yeah, man.
Just
yeah.
Shuffling your feet. But reggae will get me moving for some reason, always has. So, so I just thought I'd try and, you know, just focus a little bit on one sort of genre. But I always I seem to be tending to move towards the lovers. So I want to sort of try and some hard thing, but you've got to suit what, you know, you've got to play the style of to what suits my voice and what I'm writing, as opposed to, you know, anything else, because I haven't got like a patois accent, and if I try and put it on, it ain't working.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I've got to try and keep it real to some point.
And maybe actually hopefully at the end of the show we might be able to edit in a bit of your track there, so everyone can have a little listen and check it out if we can. Stuff.
So, Spence, have you ever been to Notting Hill Carnival?
Carnival, all of them, yeah.
Many a time.
I've been to a few, man. They are unreal.
The whole thing about putting the sound systems out is just insanity.
Yeah, man.
And look, there is no atmosphere like you get at Carnival, is there?
No.
There is no atmosphere like that.
There's nothing in the world, I don't think, the same as Notting Hill Carnival. Like, you can go to Brazil and they've got their carnival, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure.
Well, hang on, big up the West Country, Bristol, St. Paul's,
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah, St. Paul's, for par, sure. Yeah, but I would still say Notting Hill, man, is like, for me.
No, it's big, it's big.
I only went there, I think, three times in my life, but that's one of the biggest funnest free parties in the street that I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, man.
You know, so like,
the people are lush, you know, they're so friendly and everybody's got the same interest. They
absolutely
just want to have fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the food too.
Food is fantastic, man.
That jerk chicken.
Now you're talking about
curry goat and all
West
that.
Yes, mate.
We take up number three in Bath whilst I'm here because they used to cook me breakfast every morning.
Actually, I remember that place. Was
Mackie and saltfish. Mate.
Not London Road, was it? Where was
it?
That
it was on London
Road.
It was
London Road, was it? Yes, mate. I can remember that place. Yeah. Yes, mate. Some rice and peas. Yes, mate.
what better breakfast?
Exactly, mate.
I remember at Notting Hill Carnival, walk up the street and you're busting for the toilet. And be like, yeah, man, you can come into my place if you want for £1 to use my toilet.
Hey,
£1, you're like, sweet, man, thanks. And then as you walk out the bathroom door, like, do you want any Red Stripe?
Yeah, do you want some Red Stripe? I was going to say, do you want a can of Red Stripe?
Like, yeah, man. He's like,
yeah, aftershave in his pocket as well.
He's like, yeah, that's £5. I went, here you go. He's like, cheers, man. Like,
yeah, man. Oh, yes.
And they all got their doors open, man. It's sweet. And everyone was like proper nice there. And again, you've got so big access.
It's
wicked.
So I guess then if we're talking about sort of, you know, being yourself into like reggae side of things and ska, maybe whatever, who, even like moving away from like the rave scene, if you want to, who would be an artist or a DJ from that scene that you kind of like, you know, really remember and kind of inspired you, or you kind of like not looked up to, but kind of, you know, have followed and like even going to drum and bass, even like General Levy, some, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but mate, all of them, my taste is so eclectic. I think, you know, it's just too many artists, isn't it? Today, I'm listening, there's some like, I'm listening to people like, Keaty Roots,
okay,
Brothers, Roman Judah. So, sort of, they're quite underground, not really commercial,
yeah,
but I mean, again, it's so, you know, there's so much out there, isn't it?
With nowadays it is. There's so much.
And the internet, there isn't enough time to find something you're going to like because
it's
so
hard.
So distracted.
Like, yes, mate, I'm like that too. Like, you know, I'm getting old and, you know, dithering, but I find I start looking for new music and I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna get home, I'm gonna start like looking for some new stuff, and mate, and like, you know, half an hour in, I'm lost because there's just so much. Like, where does it end? There's just so much new stuff and it's all great. That's the thing, you just be like, fuck me, man, there's so many good artists, so many good material out there. It's hard to like actually, you know, say I like this guy.
And so many platforms, that's the problem.
So many platforms.
So many platforms of people trying to push stuff out on. And like, it's ever changing as well. So like, it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, you know, I like this whole internet radio thing because it's a bit more focused and people do tend to tune into radio stations.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, at the minute you've got, you know, like, you know, everybody uses all the iTunes, all the standard platforms to get their stuff out there. But then you're just fighting with the masses, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you can start to get my mindset at the minute is start to get some DJs playing your stuff.
Yes.
Well, that's old school, isn't it? That's how they used to sell music.
Exactly.
And I think that's really what we want to get back to. So guy, you know, make some friends, get your stuff out there in that way. And people will always gravitate to a radio station. And because we've got so much choice now, it's easy to go, well, that's the sort of thing I'm into. And you can then easily tune to it.
So many
different platforms to access it on.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you about the like going back to like proper kind of like getting some proper DJs where they actually play lots of other people's music. Like a lot of the DJs nowadays, like your big names, they're more producers than they are DJs, which is cool. But when they go and do a set, half the time they're playing like their stuff.
Their own stuff.
Their own stuff.
This is it. So there's like, get some people who are into that mm-hmm. sound mm-hmm. and you're passionate about it because, you know, then write something in that wet fashion. And sure enough, hopefully, you know,
yeah,
it's a back door, is it? Or is it the front door that used to be?
Yeah, right. And Brad, you must obviously, like Brad's super into the techno scene, right? And the same thing with techno. You must find, Brad, there's so many artists now because, it, you know, making electronic music. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's accessible to a lot of people without having to spend a whole load of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, like, you look at when I was back in the day, I was doing Deep House, and I was doing Tech House and things like that, minimal. You know, it was only sort of started coming in, I'd say around 2009. And I got into it sort of at a very young age, and it was like really, it wasn't really popular, actually, to be fair.
Yeah.
It just boomed, you know, and it was so overrun. Everyone was a DJ. Everyone was, you know, getting into producing. So I went into producing, and I was like, oh, okay, producing's not what everyone does. I'm going to get into that now. And then it just got so out of control, which is not a problem because everyone's, you know, wants to get into it. But I feel some people are only getting into it purely for the fashion and not for the music.
Absolutely. I think
fashion, like DJing back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
right.
DJ, there was very few good ones, but everybody was a...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was more like, look at me, I'm an Instagram DJ, you know?
Yes. Something. Which I still think, to be fair, there's quite a lot of that still going on. Like, you know.
But going back to your techno thing. Yeah, I think there is a lot of people doing techno, but, you know, I think there's, with any sort of music, like...
Yeah, no more than any genre, probably. But
yeah,
just,
for sure. You've just got to be your own distinctive sort of person and sound, right? You've got to sort of stand out from...
But as for getting it out there, what do you think, you know, do you think you're restricted by the standard platforms, or do you think that that's... you know, you got bands like, you know, back in the day, you got really big bands that became massive just through a sort of a media skit of you know, getting recognition. Mm-hmm. You know, and really, it didn't really matter what they produced after that. You know, like when the KLF wrote the manual about number one hit in, you know, 80s, what it was. So, you know, you today, really, you can, that isn't available. Because, you know, YouTube generations killed it.
Yes.
Everybody's done something massive.
Absolutely.
You know, so today, how is, what's the unique way to get into that and get your stuff out there and separate yourself from the mass?
From the chaff.
Even my time was probably different from when you was doing it. You used to hang out your mixtapes and stuff like that. Same with me. I used to hand out CDs. I used to buy USBs in bulk off eBay, put an EP on it, and then give it to the DJ, put my hand over to...
We didn't even have fucking USB sticks.
No, I'm sure.
Sure it is. Yeah,
that was my
way
of getting out.
So, yeah, like you say, mixtapes, we'd have a cassette tape.
Can you take my USB? And it's got my, you know, my name and number and my email on it. And I taped it over a sellotape with white paper with it all written on there. So I give that to him. But I think now with your question... I think it's more social media aspect, you know, how big your following on social media, how often are you on there?
It's like self-marketing.
But then that's not underground, is it? You ain't really cool if you've got social media present. Hey, if you need that media present, you ain't cool.
Yes. Nah, but for me, the best time was going to the underground clubs and passing the,
you know,
going out DJing and going out partying. And you'd be the guy on the side, like you said earlier, just sitting there watching the DJ. You'd be having a good time. You'd be that guy in the corner, and they'd probably be like, why is that guy just standing there, just looking at the DJ? But I'd be there. And I'd be
sucking it all up, ain't you?
I'm watching that guy, man, what he's doing. And I'd be like, hey, man. And I was watching Alan Fitzpatrick at Tobacco Dock, and he was playing. And so I called his manager over. I was like, hey, man, I make music. Can I have your email? And he gave me his email. It's networking underground like that. And I think doing it that way is going to be so much better than email, because you're meeting people up front, right? But again, as to your question, I do think, it's all social media aspect. How big's your following? How many followers have you got?
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's self-marketing. They almost, you know, I'm not going to name any names at all, but there's a lot of DJs out there that... and some of them might even be producers too, but there's some artists out there that they still like don't even really know how to beat mix, mate, because they don't need to, because their controllers and their CDJs, it's just this plug and play, man. And it's like I say, it's more about their image and how they look and how many followers, like you say, Brad, they've got on Instagram, is more relevant than actually their skill set and what they can actually do.
And
you know what I mean?
There's a lot of DJs and so producers now that we had one guy on the last show called Nathan Motts, and he would go and record Element Sounds like I would, you know, you go and record on their birds tweeting.
Yeah, ambient noises.
Ambient noises. Yeah. It's yeah. It's an art, it's a creative, it's an emotional thing, right? And I think that part of aspect, when I meet people like that, and I just automatically just, you know, draw towards them because they're very much like that. But again, with regards to promoting music now, I think social media does have an advantage also as well, because
it's a very powerful tool, right?
It is. You can use it to your advantage, you know.
100%.
Distributing your own music now with you know, using distributors that you pay.
Yeah.
Put your music on all forms of tracks now. So there's a couple that I've read into, and you pay, you know, £10 to $20 for the year, and you can get all your music put on all platforms.
Distributed across, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good that way as well.
Spence, what about yourself? Obviously, you sent me over that track the other day. I'm just trying to find what the name of it was, which is very ignorant of me. I should already have that figured out. Ja.
I think I called it All New, but All New.
All New, yes, All New.
I've been using...
Are you going to try and get that? Sorry, are you going to try and get that one out? Like, because it sounds like it's pretty much a finished track that you could...
Again, like, you know, you were just saying there, Brad, about ambient sounds. I think it's too bare at the minute, so I was going to get back to it. So, I get kind of distracted as well. I like the rush of writing something new. Mm-hmm. And so I've got like 40 tracks that I've stuck in. I do like to get something finished to a point where I can listen to it. And I think, yeah, that's okay. But like you said, I've been looking at Reverb Nation, like one of those platforms to push out your stuff, and that's, you know, really good, because it's similar to like most of them, you know, like you say, you pay them $10 a month and they'll chuck it across all the platforms. But the difficulty is, you know, like you say, am I going to put it out? When is it finished? I don't know. So you always struggle with that, don't you?
And I think as an artist of any kind of format, even painting or drawing or music or whatever, there's always that point where you're like, oh, am I finished? Is it done? I don't know, man. You know what I mean?
You would always doubt yourself.
Right.
But you have got to just finish it. I went through that sort of phase, and you just got to literally think, fuck, that's good enough. Because
and do something different.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, because I tend to just write what comes out of me instead of trying to sit down and focus on one specific style of music, one track. So I'll just play, and I'll think I like that loop, and then I'll expand it, and then I'll add to it, and then I'll put a vocal down. So I tend to write what comes out of me. It's, you know, it's difficult to know when the end is, isn't it?
But you're going to get your distinctive sound if you play what's coming out of you. Do you see what I'm saying? If you try and do it by the textbook, it's not going to be your distinctive sounds and your emotion in that sound, right?
And exactly that. No, and that was one of the things I worried about early on, was do I have a sound? You know, but yeah, apparently I do.
Yeah. And is that the way you normally start then, Spence? You normally start with your little loop and your beats and then go to the vocal? Or do you start with your vocal sometimes? Is it like, you know, just depends?
What I typically would do, I've got a little Nux loop pedal down there, and I'll sit there and I'll create, whether that's a... I'll use hydrogen. So I'll hook up, I'll get hydrogen out, I'll lay down a little beat, and then I'll get a loop going on the pedal, whether that's with a piano or a bass line, or if it's with the guitar, and then I'll expand on that, and if I like the loop, I'll then look to write a vocal on it.
So you start with the kind of the loop first, and then do the vocal to the loop, right on.
And so then I've got like a vocal pedal that'll harmonize as well, you know, depending on what key I've got it set in, and then I lay it down typically on a four track, and I got a Boss BR 5 3.2, which is a really old digital four track with very limited sort of storage ability. Mm-hmm. I've got an 8-track, a Tascam 8-track that's got a much bigger hard disk on it. But the thing about the Boss, it's really easy to use. Yeah, it's really simple. Couple of buttons, gets you recording, couple of buttons, we'll get the right levels. So it's really, really simple. So I prefer the sound quality that comes out of that than I do the Tascam. So that's typically my little setup, is that I will then create a loop, get going, then I'll, as I say, add to it, whether that be a piano bass, and then I'll record it onto a track, and then I'll do a couple of vocal tracks and then some atmosphere or some additional sort of lead, whatever it's going to be on it. So one of the tracks will be a harmony and the other will be a lead vocal.
Nice. And didn't you recently buy yourself a new keyboard, or did you get
I got a Lectar. Is it it's like full-size semi-weighted Impact LX88.
And is it? It's not a synthesizer, it's just a digital keyboard.
No, so yeah, it's a MIDI interface, but MIDI, it's got interface. Obviously pads on it that you can program to your door. You've got sliders you can program to your door.
Yeah.
So you've got, knobs you can twiddle for your door, so it'll hook up to whatever
you can assign
everything.
And actually, what are you using as your door? What's your what are you using right now?
We were saying I tend to use Sonar.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
where I've got most of my plugins based, but I also use Audacity a lot. Because it's really simple, and so if I just want to record a quick WAV, like direct off of the four track,
mm-hmm.
Lay down a single track, then I'll just chuck it into Audacity.
Okay,
because it's quick.
Audacity's pretty good, man.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, for what it is, it's awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm not precious I'm into art as well, and I'm not precious in art. I'll slap it down till it looks good and I'll walk away. So I wish I was a button twiddler and a digital programmer. I just don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
So do you master your tracks as well?
No, you see, because I don't have that geek skill set,
that geek,
and the patience as well. I'd pay somebody to master it.
Yeah, yeah. And Brad, Brad, you used to pay someone, right, to master your tracks too. Right?
But now I expect you've got the skill set, Brad.
I've been trying to learn, man. But I'm into people doing it through analog, through compressors and stuff like that. When people do it through the whole software and VSTs and stuff, I'm like, I'd rather, for the sounds I'm using, because
you're a Puritan.
He's a total Puritan geek.
I respect that.
So do I, mate. It's
and to watch it go off on stage, that's what we all would aspire to,
Yes, mate.
But at the end of the day, it's so accessible as a VST.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and don't forget, there's VST free now.
Yeah, exactly. But because I use analog equipment as well and stuff like that, I'd like to keep it all analog,
I'm
a bit of a freak like that. But yeah. So the track All New, then, what was the motive behind that? What was your what was the meaning behind that? Was there any sort of purpose behind it?
Was there any?
I was going to say, it's almost like it's all new. It's like it's almost like a bit of a, not a love story.
But the real version or the bullshit version? Because the real version was, you've got some rasters that are really into their jar, and I thought I'd write a track around that, and I could hook up there, so they go, oh, that might, I'll play that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, no. It's just talking about, actually, I try and write whenever it's, but lyrically, I try and write something that's positive. Yeah, and really it is just got lots of positive message in it.
Yeah, it does.
And so I'll always try, because there's just, too much about my girlfriend, too much about my boyfriend, too much about life. Yeah, let's just whilst we're here, we might as well have a good time. And the only way to do that is to appreciate, isn't it? So just open your eyes and have a look around you. And that's the sort of vibe that it's got in the track. It's like, have a look, because there's wonder everywhere.
Yeah, man.
It's not escapism when you're being told that like your life's shit, is it?
I got to admit, I'm such a simpleton that half the time I don't even want to listen to the words.
Mate,
I,
there's two types of listener, though, aren't there?
You know, I want the beats and I want the bass line, yeah. And I want the rhythms, and that's all I kind of need. Every now and again, the words are a bonus. You know what I mean? Like, because
if it means like something to you.
yeah. Right. And obviously, I listen to all the words in the songs, but for me, you know, music is like, you know, just that rhythm ride for myself. And half the time, like I said, I kind of, I'm listening to the words, but it could almost be fucking anything, man.
Mate, there's two types of listener, isn't there? There's the type that is just focused on that beat, but then there's the type that just focuses on the lyric.
Yes, and my daughter.
So you don't know who you're playing to.
Exactly. You got to give them both. My daughter is like you said, she's this little total geek of a kid that learns every single word. I'm like, half the time, I'm like, how do you even remember that? You know what I mean? I can barely hear what they're singing, and you can remember.
Have you yourself, Brad, have you written lyrics before in a track that you've, you know, put out?
Getting all shy now. Yeah, I've done some, but it wouldn't be my actual voice.
So you didn't sing it, but you wrote the lyric. But when you played it to like a significant person, did they ever like, you know, hound you on? What's that mean? What are you saying in that?
Yeah, like one of my tracks, I put one of the songs, one of the lyrics was Remember, one track I did. Another one was called Belgroove. But
Belgroove was a great track, mate. I got to admit, like, Spence, we should post it, Brad, because it's an original track. We can. Belgroove is a great track. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We'll send it over to you. And you can check.
I'll send it over to you. Yeah. I've done the lyrics in that.
But anyway, sorry, man, I didn't mean to cut you off. Carry on.
Thanks, man. I've done the lyrics, though, and I put a vocoder on it. And before with the vocal, I was like, geez, man, that is horrific. And then I put loads of vocoders, reverb, pitch adjustments on it.
Reverbs of us, mate.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a bit better, yeah. And then you never knew it was me. But
but yeah, like I had a girlfriend who would like just listen, just be straight on the lyrics, and it was, what's that mean? And it's just, so now I don't want to explain it.
So with your equipment then, what sort of equipment, how would you know what equipment you wanted? Like, why did equipment like the Boss stuff and stuff like that stand out to you more than other equipment out there?
Because like from growing up, that's how I started on the old Tascam tape 4-tracks. So I understood it, and I understood the process. I think early on is, and sure enough, I've always messed around with digital workstations as well, but I haven't got the patience for it. That was the problem. So with this, I find that I can just pick up an instrument, play into it, and get the, I do manipulate, but all the technologies, you know, so I'll use all the effects that are available to me digitally, to find the sound that I want to go with the, you know, what I'm trying to produce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sort of blending the two, a bit like you do, where you're using all your analog kit, playing it live. Yeah. You are using those instruments as their true purpose, instead of just using it in a studio to plot a sound. So, and that's what I feel. I'm a bit of a purist, as I like to play something. And so when I produce a track, it hasn't been plotted as a WAV, and I haven't used a MIDI file to get everything in place. It sounds a bit more natural.
So, I guess just talking about the equipment and that, you're using, you know, obviously, like you said, your Boss and your Tascam mixers, and kind of moving forward from that, I guess, you know, is there any other equipment you've been looking at that you wouldn't mind buying, or is there anywhere with your, you know, productions that you'd like to move forward with that you're kind of doing different from now?
Yeah, no, I mean, I ain't looking to buy any new equipment unless something fails. Just a Krona and all that.
Because I'm skint.
No, and I've got like, you know, I've got the guitars that I want. I've got like a Gibson Les Paul copy. I've got like a Tele. I've got, you know, a nylon acoustic, and I got a steel acoustic. So I've got all the sounds that I want. So
yeah, you got everything you need.
Issue, production wise, I'm going to keep producing. Like I say, I want to. My goal is to get something that's commercially viable, and we've got the Love Summer thing coming up in at the end of June.
Yeah. So the Love Summer is a 24-hour radio station, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they're, I think, based down in Torquay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an internet-based radio station.
Yeah.
And they're really from, seems, the old sort of party scene. They throw festivals themselves, so they've got a lot of content that they play out from the festivals.
Sorry. Sorry, man.
Sorry.
So, they've got a lot of content that they play out, sort of that, and they've got some of their own regular DJ slots, but they do have sort of some dedicated time for reggae DJs. So it's some lads that I've got involved with there, a DJ called Flash Fatari.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other lads. Just trying to produce some tracks for them, really.
I guess we should give a big shout out to Love Summer Radio, too. I guess
big up Claire.
Yeah, and their whole crew.
Who's Love Summer Radio?
Well, yeah, like I say, they seem like they... I'm not sure how long they've been going, because I was introduced by Nige.
Yes, Nigel Chalice, our friend Chalice Sauce, who came on the other show, right?
And because Nigel's telling me how they had quite an eclectic taste of music and they were playing a varied spectrum of stuff, but you know, predominantly dance. And I sort of got hooked up with them, and then Claire introduced me to Flash, and it sort of all evolved in that way.
The show, I didn't mean to cut you off there, mate, but the show you're going to go on is predominantly a reggae show, right?
Reggae drum and bass, techno, they take anything within those genres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 12-hour takeover that they do. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And are you going to, when you have your set on the show, is it going to be your original music? Are you doing a DJ set, or are you kind of what you got thrown out there?
Yeah, a mixture of both. So we've got, both going off. There's an hour-long set, and there's also hopefully some tracks that are produced going up as well.
Nice. So you're actually going to get some of your material out there on the radio.
And that's it. And that's really awesome. The goal. So my next focus is to find another Love Summer out there. You know, there's a lot of these little stations that are springing up. And
yeah, there is quite a lot now. Getting, right.
You know, getting some kind of following a fan base, isn't it? You know, other than social, the social's got to kick off as well. But, I kind of like doing this and building a network of friends as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I've always, throughout my life, you know, music's always been a social thing. It's something that you share.
Absolutely.
And you are able to find new music by, you know, talking to people about it. You know, it's always somebody I've met has introduced me to the best new music. It's very rarely a radio station. It takes too long to sit back and listen.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Someone mentions a name or whatever. Yeah.
But
they found it somewhere, and ultimately the radio station is a way of getting it out there that someone hopefully hears it and starts sharing your name around, right?
Yeah. So who knows? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll still find another project like that to work on.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it. I mean, really, I've found a drive to create music, and it's not something that's going away. So I just need an outlet to furnish
to get it out there. yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
Nice, well, man. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully, like that, like I said, once you get out there, and hopefully as well, we like if you share this little podcast, and we'll share it a bit. We'll get your name out there as much as we can.
So muchly appreciated, and likewise, exactly the same.
And actually, I was going to say, artist name. What are you going to be going as when you go on the radio there?
DCR.
Yeah. Dad can't rap.
Exactly, productions. But
yeah,
no, it's so difficult, isn't it? Over the years, I've deliberated about names. And
names, it's hard, isn't it?
It's just ridiculous. And the kids keep telling me I can't rap. So
yeah, DCR, Dad can't rap. Yeah, DCR. I like it. Yeah, yeah, so we'll all keep a big listen out for DCR coming up in the future. Hopefully there'll be some fucking great tracks, mate.
Are you on Instagram, Spence?
No, I've just started an Instagram sort of profile, and you know, this, again, social was not something that I've because I wanted to get some product ready to go. And yes. Really, I only had I started the journey sort of last summer. Seriously, I've always been playing music, but actually, sort of seriously getting down to record some stuff. And I I changed my job, my day job, and I was able to give myself a load more time to come back and write. And I was finding that I was coming back into the house just for 2 hours during appointment, between appointments that I'd have to sit for work, just to write something. And that started sort of last summer, the drive and the passion for it, and you know, the little wins that I was getting each, you know, the more I did it, was the thing that sort of pushed me to do it. So it's quite at the beginning of the journey of producing some stuff that I feel confident enough to put out. So hopefully, you know, that's it'll continue as it is, but it's already picking up momentum. And I think that's how it goes, isn't it? The more you just keep doing it, you know, the more momentum it'll pick up.
Yeah, I think consistency is key. You know, if you keep putting tracks out there, you keep, like, I found listening to radio shows like Pete Tong on Radio One, he'll find tracks and everything like that. You go, you know, this track's like 6 years old, but we do come across tracks that have recently just got big all of a sudden, and then it's like, boom, you know, it's a big track again, and it gets remastered.
That's it. There is no age on a good track, is there?
No.
You know, it could be something, if it's a good track, it doesn't matter when it was wrote.
Sorry, Brad, Pete Tong, is he a DJ, producer? Is he like a big name?
He's a mate of mine on Koh Samui, isn't it?
Pete
Tick Tong. And Tong's brother,
yeah. No, he must be like he's a big man.
Pete Tong is huge, man.
We need to get Pete Tong on the podcast. That would be quite the fucking chat, wouldn't it? Jesus Christ, could you imagine that? Oh my God,
stories he must have. Jeez.
Oof,
too many.
It's all gone, Pete Tong, mate.
Yeah, or Annie Mac, eh?
Annie Mac, that would be an interview right there, wouldn't it?
Well, you can ask Toyney about that, because he interviewed her, didn't he?
What?
Stevie Toyne.
Really?
You ask him about it.
Really? Was he? I'm sure he was probably under the influence when he interviewed Annie Mac.
Annie Mac. Well, I'll tell you what, Spence, thanks for coming on the show today, man. It's good having you on here for sure.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. And
yeah, really, no, it's been great, mate. Really appreciate you coming on board, buddy, and having a little chat. And I'm sure all your future endeavours are going to be good, mate. And we'll be listening out for some new tracks. And hopefully, like you said, Brad, maybe we can stick one on the end of this podcast in editing. I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, man. Send it over and I'll give people a quick listen. So
Yeah.
Just so you can hear your thing. But it was interesting knowing what equipment you use and your side of the story, you know.
Yeah
wicked, thank you.
Yeah, it's been good. Always, man.
And music matters, doesn't it?
Music does matter, mate.
That's why we named it Music Matters, you know. It's in the name.
There you go
again, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Cheers, buddy.
I didn't say goodbye. Thanks everyone.
Yeah. Do you want to say it now and then?
Yeah,
you can
I've got a lot of editing to do, haven't I?
Yeah, you do, mate. On this one, Jesus Christ!
It'd be 5 minutes long by the time he's got that. Yeah. He's boned it.
When I get it in reason, it'll just be little blocks like this. Yeah. Just cut down, not one full one. Yeah.
Good luck with that, Brad.
Yeah,
cheers, buddy. I appreciate you doing that, Spence, mate. It's good.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
I was I was trying to stop myself laughing through that bit, mate.
What the fuck was going on?
Well, Brad sent me a text. Brad sent me a text saying stop clicking. And that just sent me off, because as soon as I looked down, I was just like, fuck me, mate. And yes, I'm
still... Because Craig plays with a pen, like an ear.
I just the looks like, going between us, like, the fuck is going on?
Sorry, man. Okay, no.
Again, Spence, thanks for coming in, man. And thanks for everyone that listens in.
Spot on.
All right, goodbye, everyone. And listen to the next one.
We'll see you on the next show. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.